Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome back to another Tactical Tuesday episode of the Dropship Podcast. Today is a special episode. It is part one of drop shipping niche selection. Again, high ticket drop shipping is what we're talking about here. And we used a special episode from our paid podcast for this episode. So it's actually the very first podcast John and I ever recorded for our Patreon show. And we're going to break it into two pieces because it's a bit longer than we normally do here. If you want to hear the whole episode right now, just go to Patreon, patreon.com/dropshippodcast, and you will get all the back episodes we've done for free. And so you'll be able to listen to this entire episode where John gives some advice that I should have listened to, but didn't. And you'll hear that in one of the recent episodes of Ben's Big L, where I talk about how I probably should have learned a lesson early on. I didn't learn. There's so much gold in here. There's unbelievable amount of value in these. And all the back episodes are free. We do a new episode roughly every other week, sometimes weekly. It's $5 per new episode. Again, they're about an hour long and well worth your $5. I promise you that. So if you want to hear this whole episode rather than listen to this one today, just go to patreon.com/dropshippodcast. Otherwise, this is part one of a two-part show for high-ticket dropshipping niche selection. And the other way to get a copy of this episode in full is become a member at Dropship Breakthrough. So all of our elite members get access to our paid podcast as part of their elite membership. So if you want to sign up for Dropship Breakthrough and become an elite member and get access that way, that is another way you can get going. But let's jump right in today to episode number one from our paid podcast, High Ticket Dropshipping Niche Selection, part one. Boom. Welcome to the first show, Dropship Podcast. What's up, John?
Man, good to be here. Good to get this going. I'm super excited about this.
It started with some kind of metal music. I mean, that's the best I could find. I was searching around for something semi-cool, and it spent like an hour clicking on sounds, on Neo sounds, and I was like, all right, this is the winner. I'm done.
Well, I think we've both been into metal in the past, so I think it kind of fits for you and me. And I seem to remember you telling me once upon a time that you used to have dreadlocks and you played in a metal band. Is that correct, Ben?
That's accurate. I could share the dreadlocks photo. I've lived a lot of lives, man. I think, I don't know, we're all weird as entrepreneurs, but I think whenever I get into something, I get really into it, right? So I was really into the band stuff for a while and you know, played in a death metal band that was pretty good. We were pretty big, but here I am today being the e-commerce guy.
Yeah, well, look, it's no insult. I used to have dreadlocks too.
What?
Yeah, when I was like 19.
Do you have a photo?
Oh, there's some floating around somewhere. At that point in my life, I wasn't a big photo person, and this was pre, everyone having a camera on their phone, you know. So it's only sort of old school analog photos, but they're around somewhere. Yeah, I don't think there's any digital ones.
Well, if you can find yours, yeah. I'll throw ours. There's a Facebook group attached to this. I tag most of you listening, and I'm struggling to get back to the right window to tell you the right address. I'm gonna guess it's /group/dropship podcast. That's my guess. I'm trying to get there right now. I apologize. Live looking for a Facebook group. This is what you're looking for when you tuned into this podcast, I'm sure. Take it away, John. I'll dig for this this Facebook group, but I'll put my dreadlock photo in there for you guys.
Yeah, that'll be super cool. But yeah, here we are. We talked about this for a little while, this show, and I'm super happy that we're getting on with it. Talking about high ticket dropshipping and walking through the process of building an actual high ticket dropshipping site and a whole bunch of other stuff, and doing something a little bit different. Obviously, this is a this podcast is taking a bit of a different form, being a membership-based podcast. And this is the first episode. I think we've already got some amazing people have joined in with us, which I'm super grateful about. I appreciate those people very much. You got a list of them there, Benny?
Yeah, I'd love to call each one of them up because I appreciate every one of you. This, we're trying to do something different here. I think John and I want to share a whole lot more than we do on some of our other public avenues and really, you know, get nitty gritty and help you guys and do Q&As and dive in. So literally, I'm just going to read the list. John Murphy, Wad Ali, Robert Bate, Darren Kinsey, Simon Woodward, Alan Carlson, Roman Pettigin. Boy, did I hope I said that right. I am not French. Alex Vaux, Lisi. Rice, is that R-A-R-H-Y-S?
Reese.
All right. Randy Green, Alan Phillips, Patrick James, Tina Baxter, Andre Van Airsdale. I personally appreciate every one of you. This is going to grow fast, but you guys are the starting group, and I appreciate you a ton.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
If you're not in the...
from this ride for the beginning. Yeah.
If you're not in the Facebook group, it is facebook.com/group/dropship podcast. Pretty easy to find. Just chuck in the email you signed up for Patreon. We'll all be in that group and shoot us questions whenever you want. Again, hopefully we're trying to reveal a little more over here. And John and I, John's been pushing me. He wants to build a store in like live time and walk through it and show you guys what we're doing. And I think we're going to do it. So what are we going to argue about today? Niche selection? Do you want to tell everyone? Everyone kind of knows who we are. We don't really need to tell them who we are and why we're qualified, do we?
No, I don't think so. I think people, hopefully, if they're coming into this, have some idea. But, you know, the short version is between me and Ben, we've got about 15 years combined worth of high-ticket dropshipping experience. We've started a whole bunch of, probably between us, I'd say we've started more than and built more than 30 high-ticket dropshipping sites. You know, and some of those that we've worked on have been quite large and everything in between. And we've been working with other high ticket dropshippers, coaching and consulting for years as well. So I think this podcast, this show is going to kind of turn into a meeting of minds and a culmination of all that experience and different things we've seen and done and actually put it into a framework where it's like a real thing as well as just talking through the theory of some of this stuff, which is kind of cool.
I think it spawned. You were on my show, on the BK show, and literally in the middle of it, we were arguing. Like, we were talking about little. We decided to like give away the whole model and just walk through how does high ticket dropshipping work, and everything you would explain. I was like, well, you know, I feel a little bit differently about it, and I wanted to argue with you, but we were having a good time. I literally bought the domain in the middle of the show and was like, let's just do this. Like, we have such different takes. We have different experience. You built stores in Australia. I have no idea what goes on in Australia. I'm sure I can offer some tips, but I think you're going to help people there. And then, you know, you've worked with. I've sold a business and you've worked with the people who bought the business, right? And so and we've just done a lot of different things in different niches and grown businesses different ways that I think we're going to have different takes on it. I think I think people are going to enjoy hearing, you know, here's one way to do it, here's another way to do it, and realize that there's not just one way and that there's a ton of ways. You know, I've been part of a couple businesses that went to eight figures, and that's fun. And I want to see some people listening to this get to eight figures too. It's awesome.
Yeah. Totally. That's one of the bits about this I'm most excited about is that there truly, literally in marketing and e-commerce, there are literally many ways to achieve the same outcome, I think. And, you know, if people are in my program, you get the John version of it, right? But that's not necessarily to say that that's the only way a lot of those things can work. And yeah, I think the one of the great bits of value that people are going to get from listening into this show is hearing two different ways of doing the same thing or achieving the same thing, you know what I mean? Slightly different takes on it that, you know, particularly things that might work in one market and not the other as well. You know, like every market or niche or whatever you want to call it's a little bit different. And, you know, I think when people are building one of these businesses, often they'll hear about doing something, but it doesn't quite work out in the particular space they're in. So getting a range of different perspectives and insights into how you can achieve things, I think it's really rather than hearing the same thing. You know,
well, part of the time we argue, we literally scream at each other some Fridays of like, what are you, dumb? Like, you have to do it this way. And by the end of it, it's semantics. We're literally saying the same thing, but we've argued each other. I think, again, that's what hopefully people want to hear is, you know, the banter. I enjoy it. I hope you do too.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. Well, let's crack into it then, shall we?
Yeah, look, I want to address that a bunch of people wrote a bunch of great questions, and we are going to tackle all of them. In fact, you know, if we get any more, this is going to turn into, you know, a Q&A episode as well. We want to do one episode a week. We want to walk through our whole process for doing this first. And really, I think Thursdays or Fridays, we agreed we'd drop these out. And so look for that one a week. If we get enough cues, we'll set up a Q&A show as well. We can drop those in there. Really, this is going to be up to you guys. What do you want? How often do you want to hear from us? And you simply pay when we produce. If we don't put anything out, you guys don't pay. So we're happy to do more if you guys are asking for more. And, you know, it, as well as other people who haven't signed up yet, they're going to get access to the back catalog the moment they do. So we kind of want to get some of these foundational episodes out as well and kind of go from there. And hopefully you guys can direct us where to go with this podcast, because we're open to talk about anything.
Yeah.
I know John likes to talk about the big orange man that happens in my country. He's not relevant as much anymore, but John has some feelings about the big orange man. So if you would prefer to hear politics, John has some thoughts for you.
Oh, God. God, I don't know if that's the direction we should go, but yeah. You know, if people want controversy, you know, controversy and rants, I mean, we can do that too. About anything.
Well, I'm going to save some of these questions. So Alan, Alex, who else? Andre, I hope I'm saying that right. Andre, Wad, you guys all jumped in, and Reese jumped in with some questions on Patreon. So we're going to put out like little posts on there. You guys should get notified of those posts. You guys can just respond there. We're going to store all these away. John said a bunch of people reached out to him this week as well. So we're just going to store those away, and we'll hit all of those in a Q&A episode. And, you know, there's some other cool things that we can do. We can, you know, pick one of you guys a month and dive into your business and just, you know, shred you in live time if you're open for that. You know, probably won't feel good in the moment, but you're going to get a lot of tips of where you should go, and hopefully some ideas as well. So, like, I think there's a lot of things we could do. So please reach out. If you have ideas, reach out. Do it in the Facebook group, on Patreon, to John and I directly if you want to do that. I'm excited where this could go.
Totally.
Well, fire away. The first topic we wanted to hit was like niche selection. I know you love, are you a niche or a niche guy?
You know, I'm a neither. I actually refer to it as, there you go, right off the bat. Look, if we want to talk about the English language, the word niche doesn't exist, right? Mm. That's not a thing, right?
Neither does Zed, though. Come on.
Yeah, where did the English language come from? Where did it come from? You do know it was not invented in America, right?
Everything
not from there. I'm actually English. I'm English, mate. So give it up. Yeah. Give it up. I actually like to refer to it as a market, because the word niche or niche, I think it's overused. Everybody wants to say it. It's turned into one of those hype words in marketing, you know, the riches in the niches or whatever people say. So I call it a market. I think a market is actually the business term for what people talk about there. What's your market? Because a market includes, you know, people tend to think of what's your niche, and they think about the products that they're going to sell. When for me, and obviously we're going to talk about this as we talk about how we do niche selection, but for me, when you think of what's your business going to be based around, it's more than just the products you're going to sell, right? That's kind of like the what, but it's also about the who. And so when you talk in business terms about a market includes products, it includes competition, it includes customers. And these are all the things I'm looking at, and some other stuff as well, when it comes to choosing what my business is going to be based around. So I like to use the term market, you know, in my dropshipping program, that's the terminology that I use, but call it whatever the hell you want. And what do you say? Are you a niche guy?
I say both. Literally, the bit is I'm going to ask you how you pronounce it and then say I'm the other. That's going to be the ongoing bit. But look, people are going to come from your course. People are going to come from – what are the other ones out there? So we briefly touched on my show, and some people were like, yeah, talk shit about those guys. There's some other ones out there, right? There's like AJ at Seven Figure Skills. Some people might have come from there.
Is that still a thing?
Should it have ever been? That's the question. Tried to copy me. There's Trevor Fenner. He tried to copy me. There's who else is out there? Ernest and Dropship Lifestyle. You and I both came from that course way back in the day. And so we welcome everyone here. We are agnostic to your course. I would encourage you to take John's course. But we are agnostic. And so, like, I think coming from some of those courses, niche, was the term, right? And so I like that you're going with market in your course, because to me, it's all about the who. But when you first start, no one's thinking about the who. They're thinking about, how do I get money out of this? How do I make my store work? How do I get my first sale? And I think one thing I've realized over the long term is it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your store. And if you focus on the who, if you focus on the people you're serving, it makes all of the difference in the world. And so I'm happy to call it people selection, if you want to call it that, or market selection, or niche, like whatever you want to call it. To me, there's, I think we have, like, we're all the way down to the letter M here in notes, as far as like ABCD, thinking of things that of how we think about this. And there's just so much to the puzzle. It's not just, you know, I don't know, man. I kind of want to shit on some of the people out there who tell you how to do it the wrong
way. Well, I mean, look, let's be honest here. I mean, there was, you know, when it comes to courses and how people learn this stuff, I mean, there was the original course, which is Dropship Lifestyle, right? I mean, there was some free shit online before that. But that was sort of the first kind of organized sort of course on it. All the rest that people know about are exact copies pretty much of that program. Right, the people who started them all came from there, were either employees of that business or students, and they really didn't bring, as far as I'm aware anyway, into them, looked at their shit, they didn't really bring anything new to the table in terms of particularly the niche selection bit. And I think in where a lot of those, the tension with those courses, I think, is that they want to make something that seems really easy, right, so people will buy it. But at the same time, the problem with doing that is that sometimes the easy way of thinking of things is not actually the best way of thinking about them, or gives the best result, you know? So
I think there's two words you can interchange there, though. I often say this is easy. You might catch me on other podcasts saying this is easy. I don't understand why everyone does it. And I've recently really thought about it. It's not easy. It's hard. There's a lot of work here. It's simple. I think if you can break this down into pieces, it's a simple model.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, as far as business goes and businesses that you could go out and start. Yeah. It's a relatively simple business model, but yeah, totally. That doesn't mean easy. And, but you know, if you're somebody who sells a program to people who are looking to get started in business, it's very tempting to make something seem easy, because of course, then more people are going to buy it. But the flip side of that is the easier you make something when it's not in reality like that, the less successful the people you put through it are going to be, or the fewer people who are going to be get anywhere with it. And so I think that, you know, how other people have sort of taught the whole niche selection thing is it's always about the product. Go and find the right product and then worry about the rest later. You know what I mean?
I think that happens in Amazon FBA courses, yeah, all of the totally. Quote-unquote guru get-rich-quick stuff that we've gone through over the last 5 years. They do the same thing. Go find a winning product on Amazon and, you know, copy that same product. And I think that's exactly how I was taught in dropshipping too. Go find a winning product.
Oh, yeah. And look, that was also the focus of the whole dumpster fire that was AliExpress dropshipping there for a few years. That was all about, you just got to keep finding winning products. And so all these people, and that got pumped really hard online, as you know, for a number of years there.
Do you remember that kid in Hawaii when we first actually met each other in person? Do you remember that kid?
He was AJ's business partner, man.
Every like 6 minutes, ching, ching. Yeah. Like, and he wouldn't turn it off the whole 3 days.
Yeah, just sat there in the conference to ching. Yeah, what a tool.
And he's selling dog eyelashes or some shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's like $10 products or something. Yeah. Anyway, like, I mean, so yeah, everybody's really focused on the product, and that can definitely, going down at that route in and of itself can often lead to great ideas, but it also leads people into a lot of ideas where the product meets the criteria in and of itself, but the rest of the market's crap and it's not right. And so you can have the right product, which on paper looks good, but it's really hard to sell because you didn't think about who am I selling it to? How am I communicating with them? What am I putting in front of them? What's the competition look like in this space? You know, how am I going to overcome that? And without some of those bits, I think that's what leads people into picking a product that looks great on paper, but turns out to be, you know, a lot harder to sell than it should be. You know what I mean? Or then other options they could have found if they had a bit more of a nuanced approach to, you know, to their niche or market selection.
Yeah, I think it leads people to putting products on their store that don't necessarily belong on their store either, because they're chasing cash. They heard, oh, this sells well, kind of fits underneath my URL, I'm going to throw these on here too. I know I put out a call to go buy some businesses, and I had a lot of people reach out and a lot of people share their URL, and I honestly, I didn't find one worth buying, but there was a lot of people with six different categories on their business that didn't go together. There wasn't one person or two avatars who would buy any of those six products together. And I thought that was interesting that people maybe were chasing money. I'm not sure how they came to the conclusion they came to of why they would put certain categories on their business. Hey, just want to jump in here real quick and say, if you're loving this show, the number one thing you can do to help us out is simply go to Spotify or iTunes or whatever you're listening on and smash that follow button, that subscribe button, and leave us a review. It really does help us reach more people. And if you've got a friend that you know should be listening to this, send the podcast over to them. We'd love to have them join us as well. And real quick, two quick resources I have for you. If you want to join us in our free Facebook group, you can find that at facebook.com/groups/dropship tribe, or just search the Dropship Tribe. And we also have a paid version of this podcast where you can get even more of John and I in longer form content. You can find that on Patreon at patreon.com/dropship podcast. All right, back to the show.
Yeah, and I think that what you just said kind of gets down to the one of the cruxes of it. I mean, it's okay to have different categories of products on your site. Like, you don't need to have a super focused site that's just about one type of product. But the key is, if you have different categories of products on your site, they all need to be bought by the same, you know, the same customer, like the same avatar, the same ideal customer. They all have to appeal to that same person. You don't want to be trying to bring in four or five different, completely different customers to your site. Because from a marketing perspective, which is what you get to after you've built your business, it's really tough. You can't communicate to four different people on the same site. It's really difficult. Or in your emails, or in your ads, or anything else you do. You've got to be, you know, laser focused on that one ideal customer and their interest, their passion, their whatever it is.
This leads to a deeper question of what you're saying, right? So where we came from taught us to have the most niche store you could possibly have, like as niche down as possible. And as I've grown, they work. Don't get me wrong, they work. And you're able to really talk to that customer. But it's very hard to have a giant store that is super, 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 super niche down. And you lead to that. It brings you to that point of where, well, I can't do X, Y, or Z that the e-commerce world is talking about, because my customer only buys from me one time. I only have this one product, right? Yeah. Where I've built out some mega stores that are centered around almost like a topic, or really a person. What does this person also buy? And I know we'll get into that as we talk about this, but I don't know. Dude, I got about 8 million things to say. I don't even know where to start, John. How do we even begin coming up with ideas? Because I think you, and I know you love this topic, every course out there puts out a list of 200 ideas, and then you and I as coaches and consultants end up coaching people on the same 200 stores, or as we talked about on my podcast, I think personally I have consulted or coached with 10 plus e-bike stores?
I've probably seen in my time, in the 5 years I've been doing coaching, at least 30, I reckon. Not all at the same time, but yeah, e-bikes is usually, I mean, maybe not this year, but for years was in everybody's top 10 niche list, in the top 10 of everybody's niche list, right? So yeah, I mean, people that put out those things, I mean, it's the stupidest practice ever. I mean, yeah, it makes a nice little lead magnet to try and get people onto your webinar or whatever, but the reality is, if you tell, you know, if you're getting a lot of students and you're telling them, oh, you know, here's the niches you should do, what's going to happen? Of course everybody's going to pick ones out of the top 10 of that list, right? And then automatically everyone's just going into competition with each other for no reason other than somebody told them to. Like, they don't even think about it. They don't even do their own research. They don't even work out if it's the right thing. They just blindly go, oh yeah, I'll do that because this genius told me to.
Speaking of that, I literally just Googled a genius, one of the five we talked about earlier, and niche list. And immediately it shows up the PDF of of all of these, they're okay. There's some decent ideas in here, I guess, but oh, man, they're just all so generic. They're not like, you can do better. You can do way, way better.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, look, where you start off coming up with ideas, I mean, for me anyway, I will sit down and along the lines of what you mentioned before, I don't think of products. Like, I don't go and make a list of products. Like, I don't go and say, you know, surfboards, headphones, you know, anything like that. I sit down and I'll think about the people side of things, and I'll think about interests, passions, hobbies, and that sort of thing. And I'll make a list of those, right? And once again, I mean, there's all different ways that you can come up with ideas for that. I mean, you probably know a bunch yourself. You know, you can look online. There's literally websites that just list out people's passions and hobbies and things like that, sports, whatever that people do. You build a list off those. Yeah, you can do things like go down to the library and look at magazines, books, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's so many things. Go on Amazon and look at book topics. That's a good one. You know, there's tons of different ways you can do it, but I basically just build out a bit of a list of those, and then I'll look at those and then I'll look within them and say, well, what products, you know, are there products within those interests that people need to fulfill that, you know, whatever that is. And you know, I think the other thing I like about that as well is that those products, they're like products that people want. They're not products people need, right? I like to stay away from products that people need, right? Because usually when it's a product you need to have, like a bed, you've got to sleep on a bed. Nobody's passionate about that shit. Like, yeah, we all like a good bed to sleep on, but it's not like there's not like one identifiable customer that buys beds. Everybody buys beds, right? So that usually tells me if a product's like that,
it becomes a commodity really quick.
Yeah, it becomes commoditized. There'll be a ton of competition. Like, and look, I learned that from my first site I did. So, you know, I started off selling lights, chandeliers, these sort of things. And once again, I mean, there's some people out there that get passionate about the design of these things, like interior designers and that sort of thing. And I found that out along the way. But there are products that everybody has in their home, right? There's nobody that doesn't have lights in their home of some shape, size, or whatever. And so, yeah, they're commoditized. They're super, super competitive because it's such a massive market. And there's just nothing really from a marketing perspective to kind of, there's no one person you're trying to appeal to. So, and that was a really tough site to grow in the beginning of that.
Because you just brought it up, I want to get people thinking, right? So like my brain immediately goes to how can you target someone when you're selling those lights, like you said, right? So I would, industrial is kind of popular in the US, right? And there's definitely industrial style lights. So could you target the people who are into industrial things and not just sell industrial lights? You could sell industrial railings for their homes. There's different things for their kitchen that like people are going to have a whole theme of industrial. And now you have a person to target who's going to buy many different things from you. So now you're not just like calling all the light suppliers and listing every single light they have. You're listing very specific type of lights and very specific type of railings and different things for your kitchen. And you're able to really speak to that person because you know their wants and needs and desires and exactly what they're hoping for in their home, and you can sell them more than one thing. And so I hope just that one little idea right there got your brain thinking of like why it's so much more important to target the who than the what.
Yeah, and that's right. And in hindsight, that probably could have been a better way to go with that particular space. The problem is if anybody is in homewares and they're thinking about that is that like you've also got to watch out for trends. So when it comes to homewares, industrial is a trend. Like people don't stick to that one thing for their whole life. It's good for a few years and then people switch over to, oh, maybe now Hamptons is the thing or something else, right? So you've also, I mean, I think homewares and that sort of design related things are the only real example of that. But, you know, it's just what it pays to think. But yeah, like it's a good idea. And that would have been probably in hindsight, a much more solid idea than just going, well, I'm just going to put on my site any single light I can find and have about 50 million different styles and all of that sort of thing. Yeah, but obviously when I started that site, I didn't know any better. And it still worked out for me in the end, but it was really, really hard in the beginning. Like, because a lot of that was because I wasn't appealing to any one person. I was trying to be like a really big store. And I think that's where some people get tripped up as well. They're like, oh, well, you know, Amazon sells all this different stuff, so I can too. The point is, you're not Amazon. You can't. You're not a $1 trillion company, right? You know, Amazon does what Amazon does because of their size. They didn't start off that big. They started off selling books. So who was their first target customer? Somebody who loves reading books, right? I mean, and that's obviously a fairly broad market, but still, you can't start off as an everything site and expect to grow because you're one person in the beginning with probably comparatively very little money. And, you know, the only way you can do that is if you got a ton of money, right? And even then it's tough, you know.
But I'm trying to think back to the beginning, right? Like, I remember having a real struggle coming up with ideas, right? So, like, my very first store that I built was Brickfire Barbecue. I got too scared to call suppliers and ended up shutting that one down. But it turned into a pellet grill site, right? And the only reason I had thought of pellet grills, and I really couldn't think of many other ideas, the only reason I did was my wife, my now ex-wife, her uncle was the national sales rep for one of the biggest brands out there. And so every time we would go to his house, everything was cooked on that pellet grill every time, right? And then he eventually sold one to her dad and her brother. And so literally everywhere we ate, it was pellet grill dinner on a Memphis pellet grill. And so, like, that was the only thing I could think of. Like, I was struggling besides the list that Anton had put out, which is the same as every other list you've ever seen. I could not think of an idea. And so I don't know where some of these people – I know some of these people on this patron list, but I know you know them, some of them, better than I do. Are they mostly in the beginning? Or are they mostly – you know, on their way? Like, would they be thinking of a second or third store when they think of niche selection?
Yeah. Most of the people that are our founding members here already have a site open, at least one. I think most of them have just the one. So I certainly know some of them are thinking of a second store or are kind of underway with that. And there's probably one or two that have multiple stores in there. And there's probably getting started too.
Yeah, because I think at that point you can think bigger. Like, really, you can think bigger. You can think of those mega stores. Like, I didn't start off building mega stores, but eventually I found a way. And it's hard to describe mega stores. I would honestly, before the next show, I will go look at whether I can talk about some of these or I cannot still at this point legally. But John knows some of them, and they're not like – they're still targeting one person, just that one person has many needs. And so you are able to build these bigger stores that have multiple categories, and that same person who's going to go on their journey is going to buy one thing, and they're also going to buy another thing, and they're going to buy another thing. And you don't have to be as niche down as, you know, just selling pellet grills like I did in the beginning. Or I'm, you know, my very first store was 3D printers, right? I didn't sell anything else besides 3D printers. And it's hard to think about moving away from there in the beginning. So it's great that we have some people on here that have been doing it a while, because you can start thinking bigger when you understand the who. Whatever you're selling now, that same person's buying other things that would probably fit under your umbrella.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, I mean, for me, I think this bit is the most important bit of the whole, like, criteria for picking your niche or your market or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I think it's the most important thing to start with, because it makes some of the other things we look at a lot clearer, you know, or easier to identify whether you meet some of the other criteria if you're starting from this point.
I think for me, when it comes to, like, how do we even begin coming up with ideas, I'm a big fan of, like, you don't need to be super passionate about something, but if you know nothing about it, maybe that's not the best place for you to start, or even think of building a business inside. It's just, life is long. And, like, I don't know about you, John, but I like to have fun. I like to wake up thinking about my businesses and go to bed thinking about my businesses. And if I have to think about even 3D printers, I didn't know shit about 3D printers. They were cool. I thought they were neat. But I had engineers calling me who were talking engineer speak and looking for specifications on whether they could 3D print this part they needed in their business. And that wasn't for me. It wasn't something I enjoyed. Whereas since then, I've been part of businesses where it was, like, literally my hobbies. And those businesses were fun to think about daily. I also knew the language people used within those industries. And I knew how they thought, like, what made them stay up at night? What were they hoping to do better in their hobby? I knew how to speak directly to them. I knew their problems. I knew their pains. And while you can go out and learn this and you can run, you know, do your market research and find those things out, if you're in that, if it's something you truly love, it's going to make your life a whole lot easier. And so, you know, think about the things that you do for a hobby. Is it woodworking? Is it something else? Like, there's probably something you do where there's high ticket things that you can sell.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And if you can do that, I mean, that's the way to go. I do know from, you know, from coaching lots of individuals, though, that there's, you know, lots of people that also don't have something identifiable that's going to fit with the notion of a high ticket dropshipping site personally. So the way I come at it probably is a little bit different. And I say, like, if you've got a list of ideas and you're thinking about the ideal customer, right, don't pick something that when you think about it, you're turned off, right? So, for example, you know, I'm just trying to think of an example. I know I've spoken to people about this before, but like, you know, if you're looking at an idea and you're like, yep, you know, you've identified an interest or a passion or something that a group of people have, and you're sitting there thinking, man, I just think that's the dumbest thing ever. I can't imagine why somebody would want to do that or would have that passion, or I just don't identify with, you know, that customer in any way, shape, or form. And the thought of talking to them all day long just puts me off. Then don't do it, right? Like, it's just not going to be. You're just going to struggle with that, because part of this is, as you get into the marketing phase of your business, is you have to be able to communicate with people, right? You know, if you're talking about focusing on the who, then part of that is being able to communicate with them and being comfortable doing that. And so while I don't think you need to love it or anything like that by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, I've never sold products that I personally thought were amazing. I mean, I'm just kind of getting to that now personally, with a couple of ideas I've got, but, for a long time, you know, I had passions and hobbies, but like they didn't really fit with the some of the other criteria for high ticket products that you would sell or drop ship. So I've always done other things, but one thing I know is that what's put me off is selling things that I just can't connect with on any level. Like I just look at them and I go, that's a waste of money. Why would anyone buy that? I think that's crap. You know what I mean? Don't do that.
But that's just like your opinion, man. I don't know. Yeah, but for me, it's more the people, right? Like, you know, I was partners with Corey on a business, and those people are not my people. They are not my people. And so, like, thankfully, I didn't have to do any of the customer service. But even, like, writing copy or talking to them or building ads or, like, ugh. It was just not my – like, I am not – there's some people who don't want to spend a lot of money, and they believe that, you know, not buying that cup of coffee for the next month, saving that $5 is how you get wealthy. That is not my type of people. And so
yep.
I didn't have fun doing that. It was like, I still did all my tricks and, you know, grew the business, but like, it wasn't fun. And I trust me, you're not going to want to build a business that's not fun for the next 2 years. It's going to grow slow. You're not going to want to do it every day.
That's right.
Yeah. It's not fun.
That's exactly what I'm saying though. Like, This is why I see people burn out on these businesses. It's like they're putting in a lot of hours, a lot of work to build it. And if what they're talking about on the day-to-day, because for most people on your first store particularly, you are going to be doing the customer service yourself for quite some time. And I see people, they're like, after 2 years, they're just like, I just really hate this market. It's not that necessarily their business is doing bad or anything like that, or they're not making progress. It's just like they're talking about something day to day they just don't get, and it's not pleasurable. And when you're starting one of these businesses, you don't have a big team of people to do it for you. So how connected you can be to it is actually really important. If you're having trouble connecting with it, then it's going to be hard for you each day to sustain the energy that you need to put into it to really take it to its full potential. And I think that's particularly important for people who are doing it. So certainly their first time around, when, you know, when you get to your second or third site, you know, you've probably got some experience with bringing on a team to manage certain parts of it. And you might do that quicker. So your personal connection with the business, or your like or dislike for the subject matter or the topic, for want of a better term, matters a bit less. But when you're first starting out, I think it's a big thing.
All right, we're going to cut it right there. Again, this was part one of a two-part episode that we did for our Patreon podcast. If you want to hear the rest of this right now, go to patreon.com/dropshippodcast. That's patreon.com/dropshippodcast. This is episode number one from that series, and all back episodes are absolutely free. So if you sign up for Patreon right now, you can go listen to episode one and 20 more episodes or more, all for free, and you won't get charged until we put out a new episode. We charge just $5 per episode, so we'd love to have you over there. If you want to hear the rest of this, head over there. Otherwise, stick around. Next week, we're going to have part two of the rest of this podcast. And so by the end of that, hopefully you will hear our take on high-ticket dropshipping niche selection. I know by the end of it, you're going to be a lot more clear on what you should do moving forward. Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image, and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.